Welcome to Fielding Questions, a podcast produced in collaboration between Egg Country Farm Credit Services and the Red River Farm Network that explores the world of farm finance and rural life. My name is Adam Albrick. Today we're speaking with Andy Zink, consultant, succession and retirement planning here at Egg Country, about the basics of a will. Andy, what exactly is a will?
Well, Adam, thank you for having me. A will is a legal document that's part of an estate plan. And what the legal document does, think of it as a set of instructions or a roadmap as far as, here's what I want to have happen with my assets when I pass away. Now, a will is a set of instructions because asset ownership is a critical piece to estate planning, right? So, for example, a will governs assets that don't have a preset decision associated with it. So what does that mean? An example would be a beneficiary designation. For example, a life insurance policy has a beneficiary designation, and that's your decision as to who receives the death benefit at your passing. Retirement accounts have a beneficiary designation. You name beneficiaries, and that's your decision as to who receives those at your death. Wills cover assets that do not have those designations. Last wills and testament are the set of instructions that detail who you want to receive those assets and how they're to receive them. Wills go through what's called the probate administration. Probate is a court proceeding that, when a person dies and their assets are governed by another designation, such as a beneficiary designation, transfer on death, or revocable living trust, for example, the probate is the court proceeding that legally transfers the ownership from the deceased person's estate to the heirs of his or her estate. A will is that instruction how they're to receive it. Now, if a person dies without a will, we say that they quote unquote have a will, and it's the state generated will. So the state, each state has its own will for a person, and it's based on what's called intestacy laws. And what that is, think of that as your the standard heirs, or kind of the generally thought of heirs, family members. So if person has four kids, they don't have a will, and those children are their legally adopted or biological children, they're their rightful heirs, then they would each receive a quarter share of the estate under intestacy. A will allows for you to change that. You can make specific distributions to specific people. You don't have to leave that to children. You can leave basically your assets however you want to. There are a few exceptions, of course. You're unable to disinherit a spouse nor minor children. But other than that, as far as how you leave your assets, a will allows for you to give that direction.
So with all of that being said, what's the best argument for why someone should create a will?
In agriculture, the best argument is if we have a farm and want to continue to see that farm into the next generation, which is a big part of our line of work, our area of expertise with our producers, a will is a tool that allows for that farm transition to continue in the event of the owner's death. For example, that same scenario of four kids. If we have four children, one of them has been actively engaged in farming and you've been working on a farm transition plan with them, and then you die, we have to make sure that that plan can continue to work as you want it to. We have to make sure that the assets are controlled and that the assets are distributed in a way that will allow that farm to continue on. If you don't have a will, and those assets are distributed undivided amongst all the heirs without consideration of that farm transition or that farm continuing on, that almost certainly leads to problems or, worst case, that farm not being able to continue on. So having that will, the best argument is to make sure that your goals are met. What happens to your assets are as you decide, not as someone else does or the state decides.
And so can anybody make a will?
Yes, anybody who is 18 years of age or older and that has what they call the mental capacity to do so.
And so how about the timing? When should someone create a will? Is there a more appropriate time in someone's life?
It's a good question. A lot of different opinions here, but the way we look at it in our succession retirement planning department is we need a will at all times of life. For example, just starting out, young families, you might think, well, I don't need a will because, you know, I'm not planning to die anytime soon. And of course, we hope that's the case, but we all know stories of that not being the case. So with young families, we look at a couple things. Number one, who would be the guardian of your minor children should the parents pass away, for example? That's one main critical question. The other one expands on the use of a will, but more of an estate plan to say, okay, if something happens to one or both spouses, what are the financial needs of the family? And where will those financial needs be met, right? So we focus on who would be legal guardians of those children and how are they going to be cared for financially. A lot of times we'll identify tools such as life insurance to fill that need, or looking at the person's current asset and seeing how those assets would continue working at their death if they have land, for example. Might not be farming it, but it could be rented out or it could be sold, or what is the plan there? And that's one example of where a will is critical, or an estate plan is critical. As times go on, as you age and as your family ages, those wills need to be updated, right? So oftentimes we'll see someone, they have a will, but that will is 20 years old and it no longer meets their needs. So as your life changes, your will needs to change, your estate plan needs to change. And we make sure that we can help be a resource for that. Another key component to that need to make sure it works as you intend, or as times change, you need to change it. Estate tax planning is another critical tool within estate planning or developing a will. Estate taxes, just kind of a general overview, in order to, if for Minnesota, for example, in order to have full protection from estate taxes, especially for spouses, there are some specific steps that need to be taken, and they can be accomplished in the will. Asset ownership and what happens to those assets as directed in the will when the first spouse passes, in particular. The use of a disclaimer trust or a credit shelter trust to make sure we can protect from estate taxes. Again, if you don't have the will, you're limiting yourself in how you do that. Now, that's an example for Minnesota, but that is also going back to the timing for a will. It's not based on age, it's based on need. And in short, everybody needs one at different times of their life.
Are there any certain items that should be included in a will? And is there anything that should be left out?
I guess the way to look at that, Adam, would be to say, okay, what are the person's assets? And then what's the plan for each of those assets? For example, when we have that farm transition plan, if you think about it in a general sense, we've got mom and dad who own the land, they own the building site, for example, and they own the machinery and equipment, among other assets. And in this example, they're working on transitioning these assets to their farming child. A lot of times we'll start with the machinery and equipment, we'll continue on with the building site, and then we'll keep the land with mom and dad indefinitely as a source of retirement income. The will then will work in concert with that, or it'll be part of that puzzle to say, all right, if both mom and dad have an untimely passing, here's what we want to have specifically included, or the instructions with the machinery and equipment, with the building site, and with the land. How are they divided? Who's to receive what? And the specific instructions on how they're to receive that. So the type of asset that is included, most types of assets are included in the will, or they're subject to the will. It's a matter of specifically identifying them based on the needs of the particular client. Furthering that, it could be that by the time mom and dad do the will, or as they're updating the will, they've already sold all the machinery and equipment to that transitioning farming child, or they've sold the building site to that farming child, or they're in a contract for deed, or they're in some situation where they no longer have control of that asset. that's an example of where we'd want to update the will because it's no longer a part of their estate, so no longer applicable in their estate plan. There are specific assets that aren't governed by the will, Adam, so that would go to your question, what shouldn't be included? They go back to the earlier examples, the life insurance. Life insurance has a beneficiary designation. So that beneficiary designation, who you name as beneficiaries in that policy, that's what will govern. The will does not control that. Same thing with the retirement account beneficiary designation. Important consideration here is that life insurance example. We've seen scenarios where a person puts in their will, I wish to have my life insurance go to my non-farming children as to make it fair to them because more farm assets are going to my farming child. If that's the case, that life insurance policy, you can have that in your will, but if you do not update the beneficiary designation accordingly to make sure those non-farming kids are the exclusive beneficiaries in your plan or in that policy, the will won't control that. The beneficiary designation will. So it's not that you can't have that in your will or you're restricted, but it's not going to govern. It won't be the controlling legal process to transfer ownership. So we want to make sure that those assets are consistent with your plan and the designations are as such.
Is there anything else that people should really know about when creating or maintaining a will?
Sure. I guess the other thing that comes to mind is when you create a will, it's an instruction manual for how your assets are divided at your death. It's also, you need to appoint what's called a personal representative or an executor of your estate. And that's the person that will be legally responsible for carrying out the probate process or the administration of the will. They're the ones that work with your professionals, your attorney, your consultant to go through the probate process and make sure that everything is done that needs to be to fulfill the needs of the court and then to actually transfer ownership of those assets as detailed in your will. Naming that person is an important consideration because they have a lot of responsibility. Now they don't have decision-making authority. They're not the ones to say, well, I think this or that. They follow the rules of your will, but they need to be someone that is diligent and will take a project on and make sure that the various steps that need to be taken are actually seen through. So that'd be another consideration when you're making a will. And then finally, I've touched on it in different ways today, but identifying what your definition of fair and equitable distribution of the assets is a primary goal or kind of our primary result, what we shoot for when we're doing a will or any estate plan. And there are a lot of different ways to achieve that. The starting point is just you got to get started and sit down and say, okay, this is our plan or this is what we're looking to do. And then we as consultants can help you build that plan and what that plan says, how you define fair and equitable distribution of assets. We then incorporate that into your will. So the will is a very important document, but it's what that will says that is a focus and how to achieve your definition of fair and equitable distribution.
Well, Andy, thank you very much for spending some time and talking about the basics of a will.
Thank you, Adam. I appreciate the opportunity.
That is Andy Zink, Consultant, Succession and Retirement Planning here at Egg Country Farm Credit Services. Thank you very much for listening along today. If you have any questions about a financial topic, we would love to hear from you. You can send Egg Country a message on Facebook, tweet at us on Twitter, or submit your question through our website at eggcountry.com.